Let's change gears, head over to golf. Obviously, Ira, you were at LIV Golf Miami for most of last week, and I don't think you anticipated how good of a time you were going to have there. You were elated.
A couple things. First of all, the course was great. The Doral is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. The hotel and everything is beautiful. The course is magnificent. I was there on Wednesday for a practice round, Thursday for the pro-am. They only play three rounds. So John Rahm made a comment today. He wants to play four. So I got, Thursday for the practice round, there was nobody else on the court. I'm walking around with all these players, even the media that was there. The press conference that they had, Mickelson, Rahm, Koepka, all doing press conferences for an hour long. Anthony Kim, they were awesome. Then what LIV Golf was able to do for the media per se was tremendous. Total access. Do anything you want. The things they presented, the media room, everything was first rate. Absolutely amazing. And then for the fans, that's why the fans like it. They do everything for the fans too. It's not like it. I'm not saying that, you know, but I do think that from the, you know, I've gone to the Cognizant in a million years. I've gone to other PGA, certainly Riviera. It's almost like we have a golf tournament here. Fans just don't stay out of the way. In this, they really involve the fans. The fans like it. There were some events for kids to play in, but there were giveaways and everything was, it was very fan friendly. So I love that. But from the media perspective, it was great. I mean, there wasn't like one of these handlers where they're around. I had free reign to go to any golfer I wanted on Wednesday and Thursday and ask him questions. And I didn't have that at the tennis and didn't have that, you know, anywhere else. I mean, that was awesome that they were able to just go and talk to the media. And I love that. And I just like, there's an aspect about the golf. I mean, people talk about the music. It was not as loud as you might hear it on TV. I thought the music was sort of sedated, but it actually gives a different flow to the game. And I think, we're going to talk a little bit about this, but the team format was absolutely, to me, the big selling point. And my friends are fighting back on this, but we'll talk about it in a second. But they were really, I love the team format.
Anything you want to talk about here with the actual tournament itself before we get to Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to just sort of mention a little about the team format. See, again, and I asked Troy about this question, I asked Bryson about it, and you'll say, why is Ira so obsessed with the team format? It's because you can still watch the event itself, but the teams, and when I went there, I said, boy, this team is corny, it's not really a big deal. But when you see walking down the stairways, the four players on a team, so there's four players on each team, and then you see, at the same time, the caddies and the wives and the girlfriends and the kids, and they're all dressed in the same colors. If you looked at the Sergio Garcia on his team in terms of their fireballs, their outfit looked like Ferrari. I mean, I love their outfit. The other players that were on the team. And I know that it seemed like I'm never going to remember who's on his team, like Crushers. But then I remember Bryson's on the Crushers and Aces, Dustin Johnson's, he's the head of Aces. And then you started a Smash, Brooks Koepka. And then I started, you know, it started, that was to me so cool that I actually got, you know, knowing the teams, knowing whatever. And as the format goes on, you're watching the individual players, but then you're also watching the teams. And for the pro-ams, they're for the Wednesday practice, they actually practice together, which is really cool to see them go out and do the practices and everything. And Bubba Watson made a good point. He said, Matthew Wolf was on Brooks Koepka's team. They didn't get along. And the press had made it like, oh my God, they're fighting to live. But that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing that it got some kid, you know, some eyeballs to live. Like, what's happening with Brooks and Matthew? But now Bubba has his team is full of young, Bubba Watson has a younger team, including Matthew Wolf. And Matthew Wolf has played great this year. So I think, and he mentioned how he loves mentoring these players. This team concept is not a joke. It really is. And the players like Sergio at Farballs, Bryson at Brooks Crushers, they own their own team. So that you see fans walk around with the Aces and it's like going to a football game where they're all wearing the uniforms of the teams. I love it. I think it's better to go at that and not see like Nike or whatever, but actually go see teams at a golf tournament. And I know my friends who love golf think it's stupid, but remember, this is how they play high school golf. This is how they play college golf. So I think that's the big thing about LIV is the team format. And also on Saturdays and Sundays, not being there from 8 in the morning till 5, you know, 6 at night. The fact is that it's only from 1 to 5. It's a short period of time. I like that whole aspect of it. It was great.
Do you want to talk about how Dean Burmester got the win over Sergio?
Yeah, I mean, that was exciting. I almost missed my flight to New York because of it, because they come in and I was there on 17 and Sergio sinks like a 60-footer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Sergio's. But then he comes on, and all he had to do on 18 was make a 5-foot putt, and he missed it. And it's like he took forever before the putt. I'm like, you're taking too long. He had like a 10-foot putt, and then the 10-foot putt was a 5-foot putt on the lag, And then he missed it. And then he goes in with Burmeister, and they do a first hole of sudden death. He does it, they go back to 18, and I'm rocking back and forth, and they come back again, and Sergio hits the ball in the water, and Burmeister wins. Now, Burmeister had just won two events in South Africa. This is his first live event that he won. And as I said, he's part of the Stinger group, which is Louis Oosthuizen, Dean Burmeister, Brandon Grace, and Charles Schwartzel. So those are all South Africans. So that was pretty fun to see. But the name of the group, Legion 13, that's John Rahm, Cyril Hatton, they won the group. They won the team event. And Rahm, when I asked him in the interview session, are you excited? You know, he seemed to be like, team golf, whatever. But he was into it. Like, it's, you know, the 18th green, they had the Crushers who won it last year. So the 18th green had the flag of Crushers. And then after the event was over, Legion 13 was able to come and take the Crushers flag out and plant the Legion 13 flag on 18, which I thought was fun too. So from that aspect, I thought it was really cool that, you know, about how they were able to just the whole team concept and everything with that. But, and the fact that, you know, Dean Burmeister won, and then afterwards, you know, so gracious with interviews and everything like that. So I enjoyed the whole thing.
Before we get to Bryson DeChambeau, you had said he was like the nicest guy on the planet. He's like your new favorite golfer, and it's kind of way different than the public persona of Bryson.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, he comes out on Thursday at the Pro-Am. He's playing at 2:30. The way they do the Pro-Am is, first of all, everybody plays. Everyone played 9 holes, but Brooks played 18, and I think Dustin played 18, too. But he kind of came in at 2:30, so he's playing at 6 o'clock, and the tournament starts the next day. I followed him for, I don't know, 6 holes. He's talking to everybody in the Pro-Am, everybody in the group, the fans, signed every autograph you could ever imagine to sign, as friendly as could be, super nice and amazing. And he just totally buys into the whole team thing. You could just see how he works with players. It's really cool. I mean, the players like him and Phil totally embrace it. Now, Brooks is different, but, you know, Brooks is now going to have his team as like, we're not going to be so whatever. But Bryson could not have been, and he is a humongous fan favorite, and he's also playing really well. But the fact is that he has really embraced this, and I was impressed. So you'll see sort of the questions in my interviews where I stress the team. They're like, stop talking about team golf. My friends are all, but I'm telling you, this is the future. And I'm telling, whatever happens between LIV and PGA Tour, I think the team thing will never go away, because I think it's coming on. You can see it from the fans, because the pro shop was totally, there's nothing left at the end of it. I saw everybody buying team. They each chose their own teams, which is pretty, it's so cool that they're all wearing the certain teams of the favorite player.
Let's talk to Bryson DeChambeau here on Iron Sports.
How much do you like the fact that this team golf is LIV?
Well, it's my favorite part about LIV. We get to hang out each and every week out here and support each other. When we have bad days or good days, we're still able to support each other and lift each other up and make each and every one of us better. That's what I personally love about LIV.
And you just the brand Crushers. You're really good at everything with it. I see all the videos and YouTube and everything.
Yeah, we're trying to maximize it as much as we possibly can. We're not fully there yet. This is just the tip of the iceberg for us.
If somebody wants to buy Crushers, because I know a lot of these listeners were talking about Crushers, where do you get it?
Yeah, you get it on livegolf.com. They've got a website for merch right there, and we're having the website coming up here soon.
Okay, great, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome stuff. And we're going to catch up with Anthony Kim as well, Ira. And this is something, I mean, he was out of the public eye for more than a decade. So you're like one of the first people to kind of interact with him and talk golf in like forever.
He went on the first hole and hit, and none of the media realized that he was going to go out. And I'm like, this is the first time. I got the video. I put it on Iron Sports at an Instagram site. It is the first shot that anyone's seen in 12 years. And remember, he was, people do not realize how hot Anthony Kim was. I mean, he was just winning everything, the flair, everything. And for him, I mean, when have we seen someone just come, like George Foreman, like just totally disappearing, you know, like no golf whatsoever. And to come out of nowhere and start playing, like, no, he didn't play well, but did anyone expect him to play super on this? But the fact that he was out there, oh, and so fan friendly, signing every autograph, you know, just super enthusiastic and everything like that. So this is I'm glad I was able to catch up with him, and he was gracious to do an interview after his Pro-Am.
Yep, let's talk to Anthony Kim. It's Iron Sports.
So it was great. That press conference was pretty amazing. How do you feel after the conference?
I feel good. I've been doing everything I'm trying to do as far as work hard, spend time with my family, and life's easy that way.
And you mentioned how it's great to have your family out here, all your support system here.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have probably 15, 20 friends flying in and here to support me for my first event back. And obviously, my biggest cheerleader and my wife and my daughter is the most important thing.
Your wife is into golf. She likes to play.
My wife's into golf. She's getting a lot better fast, so I need to keep staying on pace.
And what about your daughter? You going to get her into it?
I don't know if she wants to play golf. If she wants to, I will entertain it. But for now, just having fun.
Thank you so much, and good luck with everything. Thank you.
Yep, and then next you caught up with the champion, Dean Burmester. And this is some, people may not have really known this name, Ira, you know, being South African, but still, you know, great champion here with the win.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good young golfer. And I think it's unfortunate that he's not going to be in the Masters this weekend. They talk about that as could he have got an invite because he's been playing so well on the live circuit. He's someone who didn't. But I do not forget the name Dean Burmester because he is just phenomenal player. And one of the things, let me just jump about Liv, what's neat about it is because it's a shotgun start, they're all on the practice range at the same time. That was electric. Just everyone practicing with their teams, warming up, going over in their groups. Like, that was so cool to see. And they only practice for like an hour and a half, and then they go, it's closing. The practice round closed, and everybody goes using the shotgun start. So I thought that I always like watching on the practice, you know, on the driving range in terms of how they're hitting and getting great pictures that way. And they're so close to the fans, you can get really good pictures. So I like that was pretty cool to see all that. But no, I'm glad we caught up with Dean right after the event.
Yep, let's talk to Dean Burmester here on Iron Sports.
How was it like to have all your fans there? That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And how about the team golf thing? You know, your teammates were all there supporting you, everything like that. That was great.
That nice to do on having your teammates and your peers there is what makes it more special than any other event.
And you said you got tickets for all those people to come out there?
I have them for today, yeah.
Oh, that was tremendous. That's so cool. I love that story.
Thank you.
Up next is Troy Tutt. Now, ever the people, you know, the heads of Liv were really impressed with, you know, what you talked to Troy about.
Well, I just thought, look, it was great to have Troy on. Troy is the senior vice president of Liv, is in charge of all the ticketing and those things. And, you know, it was good to get to really see what Liv, you know, until you go to an event, you really don't understand. And why, so I watched a little, you know, but in the media room and watch on TV. But it is a different form of golf. It's a lot of fun. And Troy's been, you know, very integral in terms of developing this fun aspect of going to a golf tournament and just having fun, which I know it's fun when we go to the Honda and Cognizant, but it's a little different in terms of what they do and the involvement and also with kids, it's tremendous. So he's really in charge of the whole event itself. And it was great that he was, you know, gracious to give us some time. And I think people will listen to this interview, they'll learn a little bit more about Liv Golf and everything that goes on with it. Short of the, you know, everyone talks about, you know, Saudis and this and that. There's so much, it's not that, it is definitely a different form of going to a golf. And I think it's something that you can see the PGA and a lot of things they're doing trying to adopt the things that are not with the team thing just yet. But I think that eventually they'll go to the team because I think that's a big selling point. But that's what I think this interview brings out. So I enjoyed the interview.
Yep, let's talk to Troy Tutt, Iron Sports.
Troy, I'm here. Thanks so much for coming on Iron Sports. I appreciate it. I've been at Doral all day today. And before we get into the aspects of the tournament and everything, this course is amazing. I mean, this is beautiful right here. It is something you would find it feels like a PGA US Open Championship, something like that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I actually just got off the phone with one of the executives there at the course, and they're telling me that the players are raving about it. Now, as you may know, we've been there in October or so the past couple of years. So this is our first time with Liv Golf in April, and it sounds like the players are enjoying it. So that's good. It's good prep going into a kickoff in the shotgun on Friday.
You know, what was fun about this event is I've gone to a number of PGA events, and not to compare back and forth, but when you go here and you had a press conference today and you had Brooks and you had Cameron Smith and Dustin Johnson and Jon Rahm and Phil Mickelson, the amount of star power you have at this event, I mean, the Liv roster is full and just an amazing group of some of these golfers that are just, you know, the electric golfers that we love to see.
Yeah, we've been fortunate in our short amount of time. It's amazing. For the most part, we've been around only for 2 years, and the quality of not only players, but really the people that are joining us, you know, that's an important piece that not only do they really focus and bring their game to another level, but they're really focused on the community, driving the aspect of the team side of golf, which is very different for a lot of folks, but is quickly, you know, becoming quite popular. But yeah, you mentioned, you know, some of the big boys that are out there, and you know, this is a little bit of a warm up for the Masters, right? Where we know what's, you know, coming up in a week, and it's something that's important to them. And so a lot of these guys are at the top of their game. So we're expecting some pretty good performances coming out of this because they are sharpening their their tools going into next week.
You know, I've when I read about LIV, and this is my first LIV event, I have to admit, but when I read about LIV, I heard about the team concept. I watch it on TV. I hear the team. When you're here, you see it. The team, it's not just the team members. It's their wives, the caddies. They're out there together. There is that. And I think in the press conference, they admitted that Bubba said he loves this. He has a younger team. He's more experienced, and he loves it. He goes, I love mentoring these players. That's helping my game. And I really, really am I'm falling in love with the whole team idea. And I know a lot of my young listeners, they're talking about how they like the team. They know everybody's team. I don't know the team things, but it's, I think the team concept is really one of the best things about LIV.
Yeah, it was something as unique as the team concept, which if you think about it, you know, we're changing the game here for a sport that's been around for a long time. So it's not something that, you know, overnight is all of a sudden going to be, you know, taking on that prominence like it will in 5, 10, 15 years. But it's amazing where the team aspect has gone just over the past couple of years. You know, we're now 13 total teams with John Rahm coming in as a captain, creating Legion 13. And so we're really seeing it take off. But what a lot of people don't know, and even folks that, you know, I'm close with in the sports industry, once you really give them the 1 minute breakdown of what LIV Golf is all about and the team aspect, a lot of their, you know, their eyebrows raise and they realize and they get what it's all about. And you have these captains, you know, like Bryson or Brooks or Phil or DJ or Cam, not only are they players and captains, but they're the GM, they're the part owner, right? They are fully invested in every aspect of their team and growing their brand and their team, not only to success on the course, but really the success off the course as well. So it's kind of neat to see these guys really come into their business mindset as well.
And the one thing is that many of these golfers, if not most of them, have all played college golf. You list all the schools that they went to, and they're saying, this is high school golf. This is college golf. This is what I grew up playing. This is the PGA Tour was different than what I grew up. I grew up into this whole golf concept that you're on a team.
Yeah, it's, and what's unique, some of these guys take it to all different aspects. You know, we heard during the off season, some of the teams getting together for a week or two, renting out a home or going to one of the players' homes and really just kind of working on their game together on the range or even on the business side of things. We have some of our teams that will rent out homes when they're on site for our tournament. Some will go to a normal hotel. Some will actually rent out a home and the whole team is staying together. So it's neat how they all kind of make it their own style.
Yeah, and, you know, look, it's great. There's been some change of some players move teams. Player movement is what we talk about. I mean, look, the NFL, we're talking about Stefon Diggs today leaving the, but there's no NFL football games. We're all talking about Stefon Diggs leaving Buffalo and going to Houston. But, you know, that's just the player movement creates more discussion about what's going on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you look at this offseason, this is really the first time you saw that player movement truly happen, especially with folks, you know, like Carol Varner and Taylor Gooch. I mean, those are huge moves for both sides of the coin. So it's interesting to see how it all pans out. And, you know, those doing the analysis come September, October, once the season's over, on if that, you know, which team got the better end of it and going into 25, just like you said, Ira, you know, all the major sports out there, that's their off season, right? That's how they stay relevant is a lot of those off season moves. So we're excited to see it, you know, last year and then certainly going into next season.
So let's jump into some of the logistics for people who are not used to LIV. Everybody starts at the same time, right? It's a 1:15 start. So you don't just show up all come early in the morning. And, you know, I know people that just come in the morning, you come all at the same time and they play at the holes the exact same times, right?
Yeah, exactly. For those that maybe aren't too familiar with the golf terminology, so we call it a shotgun start. So that means, Ira, to your point, everybody is starting at the same time. For Miami, that'll be about 1:15 on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's 1:05. Gates open at 11 o'clock. So it gives folks a couple hours. And that's the other unique thing is maybe at other professional golf events, you know, your favorite player could be teeing off at 8:15 a.m. and your second favorite player could be at 11:30 a.m., right? Here, you can see all the guys on the range at the same exact time, which creates quite a buzz. And I hope, Ira, you're going to be around to see it because it's something quite unique that you normally don't see in professional golf when you have maybe 10, 15 guys out there. You have 54 guys out there at the same time. They're all working out and warming up kind of within their teams. So it's a unique play. And then, you know, we've had a partnership with FrogX, which is the parachute team. I got to tell you, like, you know, the kid inside of me comes out every time I see him coming down, and the fans love it. So a couple minutes right before the shotgun start, right off the first tee, we have Frog X. It jumps out of an airplane, and they come down, and they're carrying the, you know, Live Golf flag. So it's a lot of fun to see. So I certainly suggest to folks, if they're coming out, try to get here, you know, 15 minutes early so they can see the whole, you know, celebration and kickoff.
Another thing a little bit different with Live is there's music during the whole course, which is, you know, which some people will really, really like in terms of the fact that it's you have to be so quiet, you can actually make some noise on the course. And also, I was impressed that the Wi-Fi works. I mean, this is the first golf course. I walked the whole round the course, and my Wi-Fi was perfect. So those are two things that I was impressed, the little differences you'd see.
Well, Ira, I certainly hope you didn't just jinx us. Because Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi. We all know it's never perfect. But yes, our team, especially AJ Dolan, who heads up kind of our entertainment aspect, we do. We have music going on pretty much across every single hole in the entire course. And what's unique about this is a lot of the players, even the new guys, maybe that came over to Live Golf this year, how quickly they've gotten used to the music and how much they enjoy it now. And if for some reason, let's say a speaker goes out or whatever it might be, and there's a power issue and the music goes off, everybody talks about how awkward it is. And as soon as the music comes back on, you can kind of see everybody's in a lighter mood. So it's really, you know, changed the game quite a bit for how folks, fans, and the players are experiencing golf. And I think I saw a quote the other day from Cam Smith is that for those guys, the music just becomes a little drowned out for them. And if they're, you know, if you're locked in, you don't care what music is going in, you're locked in, right? So it's fun to see the players, and they have all walk-up music, which a lot of people don't realize. So in baseball, right? So you'll get, you know, folks like, you know, I love Taylor Gooch has Say My Name as, you know, his walk-up song. So all the guys get to pick their walk-up song. So when they tee off, you can hear a little bit of that. So it's fun just giving that personalized flavor.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who plays tennis, and I'm a tennis player, they have when you have these drills, everybody's practicing with music all the time now at tennis courts. That's what they do. So it's not, to me, it's not so crazy that you have music, but that is a little bit different in terms of that. Talk about in terms of the food, the hospitality, all the tents, all those things that are going to be out there for, you know, you're not going to come here and be starving for food. There seems to be tons of tents everywhere.
No, you'll get filled up pretty quickly, not only, you know, from a food aspect in your stomach, but from a you know, visibility standpoint with our fan village. So that's one thing that we're really focused on, Ira, is supercharging the game of golf for a global audience. And so when we say supercharged golf, that means we're recognizing that we're not trying to cater to just existing golf fans, right? We're trying to bring entertainment aspects for a variety of individuals. So if it's a fan village and it's a young family that's going to come out, and maybe it's a 6 or 7 year old boy or girl that, you know, maybe it isn't into golf, but those other aspects are going to entertain them. But then they get drawn into the actual game of golf and they start, you know, rocking out a Live Golf, you know, team gear, whatever it might be. If that's what draws them in, that's what we want to do. So our fan village is, you know, fantastic with a variety, whether you have golf simulators and you have temporary tattoos going on, or we even bring in other sports and we'll have football throwing themed activities going. So it's a variety that happens there. Food trucks are all over the place, so there's no limit on the food side. So we're trying to create an overall entertainment aspect. And then, you know, our hospitality, as a person that's been in the sports side and I've worked in other professional golf, we are passionate about taking our hospitality to another level. So whether it's Club 54, which is our highest end, which is right on 18, or Gallery Club, which is on the 9th green, or then we have our Birdie Shack. Birdie Shack is exactly what you probably think it would be. We have a DJ going all day, a lot of good vibes. Let's just say the fans like to interact a little bit more with the players in that space. We're trying to give a good variety to all fan bases coming in.
When you meant for the kids, I mean, I saw like tic-tac-toe with golfing and skee-ball and all this other stuff. There's a zillion little games. I'm like wondering what all that is. Like, I wanted to do it. It seemed like fun for me to go out and try all this stuff. I mean, and that's what's so cool is because it's hard to have, if you have a 5 or 6 year old or 7 year old to walk around a course for hours, but if they can go and play all these different games and do those things, that keeps them active. And then they get, as long as they get a club in their hand and they're, you know, looking and they say, hey, I want to start putting. And that's how it all starts. I mean, that's how they get.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then if they can get themselves, you know, up against the ropes or whatever it might be, the players absolutely love the kids and interacting with them. So whether they're getting a ball or a signed item or whatever it might be, or getting a fist pump, those are the type of memories that the kids walk away with. And as a parent, those are the ones we walk away with as well, and keeps the kids and the families wanting to come back.
We're talking to Troy Tutt, the senior vice president of the Live Golf for Ticketing and Hospitality. Talk a little bit about the economic impact this is for South Florida. I mean, we were so blessed here in South Florida to have events like the UFC has just come here and the Miami Open was just here. I've been all these events I've been at, which has been tremendous. Formula One is coming in May. Talk about how this fits in terms of just bringing all the, in terms of the economic impact to the area.
Yes, absolutely. So when we talk about being a global tour, we see that candidly in the numbers. So for an example, right now we have ticket buyers coming from 35 different countries around the world just for this event in Miami. That's really strong, especially for a domestic event. And the fact that we are global, that a lot of these folks can go to some other countries to see us. And then we also have ticket buyers from all 50 states here in the US. So only about 60% of our ticket buyers are coming from Florida, which means you have 40% of our entire fan base. So you have thousands and thousands of folks that are coming from outside of town. And then we all know what that means from an economic impact, from every little thing that you can think of, to the restaurants, to the hotels, to the airports, and right on down the line. So with a lot of these fans, it's not they're coming in for 24 hours, right? They are here for a solid 2, 3, 4 days, and they're making a total kind of vacation or trip out of it. So it's fun to see those fans coming from all around the world to consume and take in our product. Miami, South Florida doesn't hurt. so we recognize we are strategic about where we go, and so it's not a bad spot to be in Miami.
And you talk about the international. This is certainly international town, international flavor. We saw it at the Miami Open. You're going to see it in Formula One, everything. But Liv has really embraced that by taking the game to these courses. And we had Dustin Johnson on the show on Monday, and he talked about how he likes to always play an international game and play tournaments. But now that he's going even more around the world, and he says not only is it great for him in terms of playing in these amazing courses, but the amount of new people that are being introduced to golf that are coming out and falling in love all across the world.
Yeah, and you're seeing that with the players themselves, or even their teams. You take a team like the Fireballs with Sergio Garcia as the captain. Some of these teams are forming, Rippers GC out of Australia with Cam Smith. They're basing some of their team based on the country or region in the world. And so you see certain fan bases embrace that, which is neat, right? And you'll see that certainly when we go to Adelaide here in a few weeks. Certainly, Ripper GC and our merch team is certainly bringing on a lot more merch items for Ripper GC to Adelaide than we normally would. But that's the fun part about it, right? We can allow these fans globally to embrace a team that means something to them, whether the team is standing there on behalf of a country or a region, or if it's a certain player. A lot of these countries have been, starving for professional golf. And so we're excited that not only are we bringing it, but we're bringing, candidly, some of the top players in the world to them. And so they're certainly embracing it. So it's fun to see.
Yeah, we just had Danielle Collins on the show, and she said when she played, she said she's retiring this year. She's 30 years old. She says, and she just won the Miami Open. She goes, I'd play longer if I knew I could just play at home and have this crowd, and everyone at the Hard Rock was cheering for her. And she goes, this was awesome. I would play 10 more years if I had that type of atmosphere. So she enjoyed that whole team and the camaraderie, and also the fact of being at the international side. Now for her side, it was America. So.
Yep. Yeah. And look at the past couple winners for us. In our first year in 22, you had Dustin Johnson win. Last year was Carlos Ortiz, right? So you just really see a variety of guys that are coming in, whether they're winning individually or they're winning as a team. So
you mentioned at the beginning when we talked about how the Masters is next week, was there a thought of saying, well, maybe these players would want a week off? But John Rahm, some of these other players said, no, we like this. I like the fact that John said, he goes, I don't want to be sitting this week off. I wanted to be playing before I defend my title. I don't want to sit at home and think about it. So what do you think? What has your response in terms of talking to the players and hearing what they say about playing with the Masters with a week away?
Yeah, certainly. I can't speak for all the players, but we do very much keep the players' schedules and their game and the sharpness of their game in consideration when we're putting the schedule together. We're avoiding massive lulls in the schedule of 4 or 6 weeks. That's not good for their game as far as staying sharp. So we this consideration of going the week before the Masters, to your point, Ira, and if per John Rahm's comments, that's exactly what we heard for the most part from every single player, is they like to have something right before, so they're staying sharp going into the Masters. You know, playing 2 to 3 weeks before the Masters and having nothing in between is not necessarily the best for a lot of the guys.
You know, the one thing about the LIV Tour that I like is that you're seeing with PGA is that, oh, 1 week you might see one star here and then there's another star there. And then only in the majors, you know, that are, or the players, do people play together. But in this, in LIV, it's like when you watch a football game. Patrick, if you turn the TV on for Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is going to be quarterback. Josh Allen's going to be the quarterback for the Bills. Like, you know, the stars are going to be playing every single week. And I like that aspect where I don't, you know, you want to be like the NBA with load management, you don't know who's going to play. So I like the fact you turn it on and then you say, boy, every star is going to be playing that week.
Every star is going to be playing that week, and they're going to be playing all 3 days, right? That's the other piece, right? You don't have to worry about, oh, I got to get out there on Friday if that's the only potential opportunity to see my guy because, you know, in case there's a cut or anything of that nature. So, you know, all the players are playing all 3 days. It's unique, you know, when you look at Fridays. Fridays, we're able to kind of play with the pairings, which is fun. You know, sometimes we'll look at guys who maybe won at that course in the past, and we'll group them together. Sometimes we've group the teams together. And then after that, it's based on kind of where they are on the leaderboard for Saturday and Sunday. And that's one thing I read that we do. If you, you know, at the top, I mentioned our Sunday tee off time is 1:05. We actually have two different groups that tee off on the first tee. We have a 1:05 group, and that's basically the second place team at the time in the standings, or a grouping, I should say, that, you know, groups 4, 5, and 6, the players that are in 4, 5, or 6 are teeing off at 1:05. And then the guys are at 1, 2, 3, tee off at 1:15. The goal there is that most likely someone from that group will finish their play on 18 and allows all the crowds an extra, you know, 10, 15 minutes to make their way to the 18 so everybody can see the finish.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, Troy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ira.